Campus 103.7 presents a collaboration between me, Patricia Salomone, and my friend Stephen Mangione for the reviewing of the book The Path to Redemption, A Journey to the End of the Earth by Stephen Mangione. This is another review in the series A Book, A Thousand Stories. Dear listeners, we are with James and Maria in the Cathedral of Santo Domingo de la Calzada. The author has told us that the building is beautiful and has an aura of serenity. Maria and James sit in one of the pews and both whisper a prayer. On leaving the cathedral, as they walked past the altar, they noticed a coop at the rear of the church containing two live fowl. The author will recount this legend to tell us why this pair of birds are kept in this little corner of the cathedral.
The coop in the church records a miracle that is said to have taken place long ago. Three German pilgrims, a father, a mother and their son, had come to Santo Domingo de la Calzada on their way to Santiago and stayed at one of the inns. The innkeeper's daughter took a fancy to the young man, but he spurned her advances. Enraged by his refusal, she hid a silver goblet in his bed and then reported that it had been stolen. It was not long before the goblet was found under the young man's bedclothes, and he was tried for theft, convicted and hanged the next day. The parents, saddened by his death, left the village and continued their pilgrimage to Santiago. On their way back home, they passed through the village again. Their son was still hanging, but thanks to the miraculous intervention of Santo Domingo, he was alive. They rushed to the mayor's house to tell him what they had just seen and to ask him to take their son down and restore him to them. When the parents arrived at his home, the mayor had just sat down to lunch. When they told him of the miracle, he remarked skeptically, "That boy is as alive as these roast fowl I am about to eat." Whereupon the fowl came alive and flew away. The miracle was not lost on the flabbergasted mayor, who immediately gave orders for the boy to be taken down and handed back to his parents. From that day on, there have always been two fowl in a coop at the back of the church.
That is a sweet story that enriches the folklore and traditional tales of a small town. Maria and James asked one another whether anyone really believes that story, but conclude that it is one of the more endearing legends on the Camino.
Oh,
two travellers leave the cathedral and find a restaurant in the historic centre. The friendly waiter was insistent that they try the Cordero Asado, or roast lamb. And they did not regret taking his advice, for the aroma alone was to die for. Still, so undecided as to their next destination, they asked his advice. He suggested that they walked as far as Viloria de la Rioja, where a friend of his owned a small family-run hotel. After calling his friend, the waiter asked sheepishly, "My friend asked whether you would be wanting one room or two, and I wasn't sure what to reply." Maria and James looked at each other briefly and gave a nervous chuckle, until Maria swiftly informed the waiter that they would be needing two rooms. James and Maria walk a further 15 kilometres to Viloria, where they check in to the inn called La Posada. The owner met them as they entered, and she told them to follow her so that she could show them their rooms. First she took Maria to hers, and then James to his. They were both very large rooms with a sitting area, and each had a wonderful bathroom that included a jacuzzi bath. After the rigors of the albergues, this was a welcome relief. Maria and James were tired after the long walk and were quite happy to dine at La Posada. They were the only residents that evening. The hostess took a liking to them and gave them refined treatment. There were flowers on the table and she served them a homely but a superb meal. Soon James and Maria were completely relaxed and magic was in the air. How happy they both felt. Incredibly, both said that they felt as though they had known each other for a long time, yet it was only 2 days since they met on the way to Azofra. Yes, it was indeed a special evening for both our two peregrinos. As James walked Maria to her room after dinner, he stood somewhat hesitantly at the doorway. He read the message in her eyes, and they kissed passionately, until Maria released her hands from his. At which, rather reluctantly, he said, "Good night, Maria. Sleep well. I will be thinking of you." Thank you. James, as we have seen, is an early riser. When staying at an albergue and sharing a dormitory, waking early ahead of the crowds gives him time for a good chance to use in the bathroom before other pilgrims. All the same, at the homely inn, he rises up early and goes downstairs to the conservatory to wait for Maria. He was thinking about their kiss the evening before and how quickly their relationship had bloomed since they had met just 2 days before. He had not felt like this about anybody ever before. Maria had similar feelings, but previous bad experiences suggested she be cautious. She realized that their relationship had developed fast, perhaps too fast. Maybe, she thought, I should be careful before allowing myself to get too drawn into this relationship. Separately dwelt on these thoughts as they walked together, continuing their camino, when they came to a very lonely wooded stretch and passed by a monument to the fallen of the Spanish Civil War.
Ametralladora y Franco se va a paseo y Franco se va a paseo.
It's difficult to summarize the events of the Spanish Guerra Civil in a brief statement. The war started in 1936 when generals Franco and Mola started a right-wing rebellion against the democratically elected Republican government. Although there was a non-intervention agreement signed by many countries, fascist Italy and Germany helped Franco's troops, while Russia helped those of the Republic. It was in many ways a rehearsal for World War II. German bombers wiped out the town of Guernica, which was held by the Republicans. The famous painting by Picasso, entitled Guernica, depicts the violence of this bombing. Franco was backed by monarchists, fascists, and traditional conservatives, as well as by the Catholic Church, who viewed the Republicans as godless Bolsheviks. There were atrocities committed on both sides, although those of the nationalists were considerably bigger and worse, and continued after the war ended in 1939, with tens of thousands more sent to concentration camps and killed. Some 7 million Spaniards were displaced by the war, and many left the country. Franco ruled till 1975, and during his time, the scars caused by the war continued to be exacerbated. The churches were filled with plaques, commemorating those who fell in the service of God and of the fatherland, while the thousands of Spaniards killed by the nationalists were never registered, and their families are still searching for their remains up to today.
Mañana hay un lunes,
Maria and James proceed on their Camino. Their destination that day was San Juan de Ortega, a very small village with one street that was but the extension of the plaza. They checked into the albergue and were told that Mass was about to be said at the Church of San Juan. Both our pilgrims seek solace in their strenuous walking, but also in their religion, in the spirituality they both find when attending Mass in the churches along the way on the Camino to Santiago de Compostela. The little church was quite full. A small female choir sang throughout the Mass, which was a very simple and beautiful ceremony that moved them both. At the end of the Mass, the priest asked them to move to the chapel next to the church. In that chapel, San Juan's body lay in an ornate stone coffin. After the Mass, they received the now familiar blessing of the pilgrims.
San Juan de Ortega collaborated closely with his friend and fellow saint, Santo Domingo de la Calzada, in opening up routes which would help pilgrims through the region. A monastery and a church were built in this small hamlet of no more than 20 people, which offers hospitality to at least five times that number of pilgrims each day. The church is a beautiful 13th century church in Romanesque style, and has beautiful carvings internally, including one special one of the Virgin of the Annunciation. On the spring and autumn equinoxes, a shaft of light from one of the windows illuminates this sculpture. This is known as the Miracle of Light. The blessing of pilgrims takes place in many churches along the Camino, and this happens usually at the end of the Mass, when the priest calls all pilgrims attending the Mass to step forward to receive the blessing. This is often read in several different languages, and pilgrims are sometimes asked to name the country they come from and to read a prayer in their language. This underscores how international the Camino has become, when you might get 20 or more nationalities praying together.
Inspired though they are by spirituality, James and Maria are a man and a woman falling under the spell of love. After a simple dinner at the albergue, they walk back to the plaza and sit on a bench. The square was almost completely empty by then, and the only lights left were a couple of dim street lights. Maria snuggled up to James and laid her head on his shoulder. They looked up at the sky. It was brilliant. Neither of them had ever seen the Milky Way shine as brightly as this. It was an amazing sight, and they just sat there looking up at the sky silently. It is not surprising that the night sky has always inspired poets, painters, and musicians to great heights of creativity. I have always been fascinated by the grandeur of the universe, James says, while declaring that cosmology is one of his favorite subjects. The following morning, our two pilgrims are on their way to the grand city of Burgos. As they walked along a riverbank, in gaps between the trees, they saw the twin spires of the great cathedral. Having crossed the Puente de Santa Maria, they walked through the city gate and stood in awe at the scene that met their eyes. The great cathedral rose from the square with a large and grand flight of steps on one side, while its twin spires reached up to the sky. The masonry work was an intricate pattern of lacework in stone, and the shadow cast by the strong light created an almost unreal sense of relief.
Burgos Cathedral is one of the most extraordinary and beautiful cathedrals I have ever seen, and it needs a lot of time to take it all in. It was built between 1221 and 1260, and it is dedicated to Saint Mary. It was first built in a pure French Gothic style, but in the 15th and 16th centuries, it went through some major embellishments when a more flamboyant style of Gothic was used, giving the cathedral its unmistakable look. Further work was done in the 18th century, when the portals of the main facade were modified. There are also some Renaissance and Baroque elements inside, notably the retablo behind the altar. There are a number of other great cathedrals along the Camino route, but Burgos is arguably the most important of these. The interior of the cathedral was a revelation. They both felt overwhelmed by its beauty and by the sense of history. Maria became so emotional that tears started to run down her face. Everything was so perfect. Almost too perfect. As they left the cathedral and walked about the city centre, they saw a small poster advertising a choir performance that very evening. An opportunity not to be lost. By this time, the city was coming alive with the locals coming out for tapas, as is traditional in Spanish cities. But James and Maria both chose to return to the cathedral to enjoy the concert. The performance started on time. The choristers filed out and took their places in front of the great altar. When they were all in place, their director came out and bowed to the audience and led the choir into their first piece. The heavenly sound of their voices, combined with the superb organ playing, transported them both. Maria and James left the cathedral feeling ecstatic.
They looked for a small, intimate restaurant where their conversation inevitably centered on their respective love for music. Maria reminisces on how her mother had wanted her to play an instrument for which she is ever grateful. She sadly tells James that her mother has recently passed away. James commiserates and says that he too has lost both his parents. Maria put her hand over his arm sympathetically. He stroked her face gently. On returning to their sleeping quarters, there was a tacit exchange of unexpressed thoughts until Maria gave James a quick kiss on his lips. They went their separate ways, but there was a promise of much to come. Join us next week for another episode in the series A Book, A Thousand Stories, which sees the review of The Path to Redemption, a book by Stephen Manjon. The author will tell us the legend of El Cid, the valiant Spanish hero, and we shall follow the progress of Maria and James's Camino and of their mutual relationship. For a repeat of today's episode, tune in to Campus 103.7 on Thursday at 15 hours. And for the next episode of the story, tune in to the same station at 18:30 on Monday.